Welcome to the Dope Black Woman podcast, the podcast where we share stories of Black excellence as part of our safe digital sisterhood. I'm Leanne Levos.
I'm Rashan, but you can call me Shan.
I'm Livs.
This week on the podcast, we're talking about female sexuality. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Dope Black Women podcast. A lot has changed since the last episode. One of our three members has moved.
Hey,
to Jamaica.
Leanne, yes, what's it like? Give us an update.
It's weird right now. I can't even give you guys like a proper update because I'm isolating. So as soon as I got from the airport or left the airport, I went straight to my apartment. And I've been here ever since. And it's really interesting because I'm used to, the first time we went into lockdown when I was in the UK, I was isolating with my housemate, Kemi, who, as you guys know, has been on the podcast before. But this time I'm isolating by myself. And so day 5 feels like day 50. And I'm trying to stay productive. And I'm still on UK time as well. So I'm waking up at like 4 a.m. in the morning and going to bed at 7:30 p.m.
Oh, no.
So it's interesting. It's not bad, and it's nice to be warm. I mean, it was warm in the UK before I left as well. It's excessively hot, I will say that. I was just saying to Leanne before we started that, producer Leanne before we started, that I have like 4 fans going at any one time.
One just isn't cutting it.
No, one is not cutting it.
Is there not aircon?
I have aircon in one of the rooms, but aircon is expensive, B. Electricity is expensive in Jamaica. I can't have the AC running all the time. So I put it on enough just to cool the room down, and then the fans keep the cool air going. That's kind of the system that I've been working with at the moment. But I'm also moving in a couple of weeks to like my more permanent space. So I think in a couple of weeks, once I've finished isolating and once I'm in my permanent space and all my stuff is unpacked and I can leave my house. And
have you got an extra room for me?
I do. Actually, I have to send you guys the place I'm moving into. There's like
a whole
second bedroom. Sorry. Can we pause? Just so you guys all heard. Yeah. Extra room for me. For Shan, not Leanne or Olivia. Thank you, bye.
There will be more than enough space for everybody when you guys come collectively.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
We'll make it happen. Who gets the bed or the bedroom? That's really, you guys.
Fucking the bed.
I mean, I'm sleeping in a bed. I don't know what you think this is. Like,
we're not 15. It's not camp anymore. We have to have all our own beds. Fine.
Yeah.
Guys,
what is it like proper isolating? So obviously the UK is doing a bit of a madness when it comes to COVID, not taking it as seriously. The fact you've had to isolate as soon as you've left the airport for 2 weeks straight.
Yeah, so it's actually, they're really good about being diligent here. As soon as I got to the airport, they have like cameras kind of lining the hallways that do the heat sensor temperature checks. And then you get to join a line, and then you fill out a form to say, where have you been in the last couple of months or in the last few weeks? Have you had any interaction with anybody who has had COVID, et cetera? Then they do, and there's hand sanitizers everywhere. And then they give you a form, and they say that you have to fill it out morning and night. You have to have a thermometer so that you can have checks. And then you have you have to download an app before you leave the airport, which at any given point in time will signal to you that you need to do a check-in, and the check-in involves sending a video to say, hi, my name is Leanne Levos, I don't have any symptoms, this is where I'm located. So they're actually super diligent about it, even though there's freedom of movement and people are out in the streets doing their thing. Like if you're in isolation, they do, and you can get fined up to $1 million Jamaican, I think, if you're found, which is like £10,000.
Mad.
£12,000, even probably more.
Sorry, who has £10,000 money?
Don't break the lockdown rules, then, B.
Dude, I'm not
fine, boy.
I'm not going anywhere.
On your Instagram, I saw that you used that delivery service where they brought food to you. Is that what happens for everyone, or is that just a service that you can use. So like, if you're meant to be isolating and you want to get food, are you able to go and get it?
No, so you're not supposed to leave the apartment, or you can leave the I can leave my apartment room, like the house apartment itself, but I can't leave the building. So there are a few delivery companies actually, but the one that I use is Shoppable JA, and it is Black female led owned.
You're done though.
And so, yeah, it was really convenient. And the great thing about them is that you can literally order anything. It's not just groceries. So if I needed toiletries, if I need lunch delivered to me, like if I want to order takeaway from a restaurant that does do delivery, I can order from them. It's amazing. So if anybody's coming to Jamaica and is isolating and needs stuff delivered to them, use Shoppable JA. They're amazing. I can't say enough about how great.
Is it expensive? Because that sounds very, like, upper class.
No, actually, it really wasn't. And what was great about, so I bought quite a few groceries, like, you know, the basics of what I needed and toiletries. And I think it came up to, I'd say like £100, but it's stuff that's like I need. So I didn't have I realized that when I got here, I didn't have a toothbrush because I'd left my toothbrush in the UK. I didn't have soap. I didn't have any toiletries. I didn't have any food. I bought alcohol. Like,
Of course you would.
Of course.
I bought Hennessy and cranberry on. It was on.
There you go.
So yeah, you know,
the necessities.
Yeah, I don't think it was that much more expensive than if I went to the groceries to buy the stuff myself. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, that's good then.
Yes,
that is good.
But beyond missing you guys, you know, I'm here. I'm chilling.
But you know, once you get settled in, sooner than after coming. As soon as the rules aren't coming, quarantine for 14 days, I'll be there for more than 14 days. You'll be like, yeah, Rashad, I've had enough now. Can you leave? I'm just extending my flight. Sorry.
Well, now that we've updated the audience with your journeys and the fact that you're in a new country, this week has been an interesting one in terms of like female sexuality and women and women on screen. Let's start with what everyone's talking about, which is the WAP video. The WAP video. Mm-hmm. Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion.
They have really nice outfits, you know.
They do. Yeah.
I like the scene where it's got like a black corset, and then they've got like these half lace fishnet tight things. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, that's
the video is just amazing, and actually
I think
I tweeted this on the Dope Black Woman Twitter page as well, but Megan Thee Stallion, for a female artist who has literally just come into the game, what, within the past 3 years, if that was, she's done more collaborations with other women than most other female rappers that I know. Like, she has a collab with Nicki, she has a collab with Cardi, she has a collab with people, female artists,
Beyoncé,
Janelle Monáe, like, she's
had, and actually big artists, not like she's got doing it these dead people, she's doing it a big name.
So I think she's like defeating or disrupting the narrative that like black female rappers can't be successful all at the same time, you know,
because don't Nicki and Cardi B, is that the right pair?
Yeah, Nicki and Cardi B had beef.
That's even more sick, because you could have gone to Nicki, who's been in the game for longer, or gone to Cardi, who's more relevant now, and then just kept to that one side and let your career bang. But you actually was like, you know what?
Fuck it.
All power to black women. I'm going to both of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally. As you said, she's disrupting the narrative that there's only room for like one. There's only room for that one woman. Because for a long time, it felt like Nicki was like the one. And like, no one could take her spot. Mm-hmm. And like, that has definitely changed a lot in the last year. So I'm here for it.
Yeah, definitely. Because when I was in school, that's all I knew of. Like, as a female rapper, the only person I would think of was Nicki Minaj. And even like when Lady Leisha blew, the person that I still thought of was always like Nicki Minaj. It's only recently where I started to see like the rise of female rappers and them get like credit for it. Do you know what I mean?
100%. That's definitely true.
So why do you think people have been so... Like, obviously, not everyone loves the video, and plenty of people don't, and plenty of people don't love the song either, and they say, you know, typical things they do about any female artist, which is that it's too derogatory, and it's too nasty, and it's not good for young women to watch is not good, you know, for role models. What do you guys think about those kind of opinions?
I think it's interesting. Like, I am fully here for female empowerment. And obviously, female empowerment means that you are should have the agency to do whatever you want to do, right? Which is look however you want to look, say whatever you want to say. I think in this instance, the backlash is unwarranted because these women clearly have agency over themselves. They're clearly making their own decisions. They have ownership. They're embracing other women in the process. I don't know that they're doing any, and I don't know that they're trying to be role models either. You know what I mean? They have the agency as women to not have to be role models. Men don't have to do it. So I don't see why they should be held to a standard to say that they have this innate responsibility to pay attention to 12-year-olds, you know? Like, no 12-year-olds should be listening to their music anyway, because it's...
That's what I was going to say. Like, even, like, at my dad's house, yeah, he religiously will have just, like, the music video channel on. But then my little sister's around, and she's 9, that won't be on. Do you know what I mean? Or it'll be on, and the screen will be darkened, so you can't actually see what the content is. So I definitely feel like, when it comes to, like, celebrities, the people in the public eye, there's a lot of pressure for them to be role models. And I get it, especially in the age of social media where young kids are on their phones, they might be on YouTube and they're coming across this content. But there's also a big responsibility that lies on the parents as well. But going back to what you were saying before about like women embracing their sexuality, I always just feel like sometimes people just like to complain too much. Like sometimes just chill out. Like they're not doing anything to harm you. They don't actually contribute towards your bill, so why are you so pressed about it? Do you get what I mean? Like, if how they acted or performed in the video impacted your life directly, then I'd get it, but they don't. The video is sick. They're two women who have genuinely made themselves, like, made a career for themselves organically. Like, when you look at Cardi's story, how she started to where she is now, that is very inspiring to a lot of women. Do you get what I mean? And I just feel like people should focus on the positive rather than the negative. And I think when it comes to music, I think it's a hard one because I myself have been not a victim of doing it. What is the word I want to use? I think what I'm going to say is problematic, but I feel like that when people do this, but I'm the person that does this sometimes. But sometimes I see women who are hypersexualized and I think, did you have to pull something else? Do you know what I mean? But I don't mean it in a way where it's like they shouldn't wear that, because they should. But sometimes I feel like we should try and show a different narrative so that young people don't feel pressured to dress a certain way. But then at the same time, I think it also lies on, again, to who you're interacting with and who's on your feed. So, like, on my feed, I might have someone like Miss Banks, let's say, yeah, who's in, I think, like, Miss Banks is quite in between with her sexual, how sexualized she is. Like, sometimes you see her in, like, a skater skirt, her boobs might be out and her legs might be out, but it's quite, like, quirky sort of vibe. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, like, Brenya, as an example, her breasts are normally out, bums out, bellies out, like, everything's normally out. But then I also have little Sims who I follow, who's normally in, like, a suit, and she's, like, does the more masculine, feminine attire. Do you get what I mean? So when you have that balance of representation of women, it then makes you make your own decision of where you want to fit into it. So I think sometimes it's just part of a wider discussion of what you're feeding into. And I think a lot of people's issue is that they focus on the fact that there's so many women that are only showing themselves in this hypersexualized way. And that's okay, but also let's not forget there's loads of women that are doing the complete opposite.
100%.
And I feel like even just when it comes to the lyrics itself, which was a huge, like, contentious point for a lot of people, like a lot of parents in particular were saying, you know, I don't think my daughter should be listening to this. This isn't a good thing for her to be listening to. Like, it's not. Listen, like, hip-hop music has been talking about pussy for like a good 40 years now, so I mean, I don't know what you expected to come from this song that hasn't already been said 100 times from men. That's the part that really irks me. It's like, why is it when a woman says it and she's talking about her own body, exactly, that it's a huge issue, when like
guys, you want to explain to the people that are listening what the title means?
Oh wow, where there's pussy.
You're done now, all the time, done, all day, every time.
As it should be, as it should be.
But literally, like, most hip-hop songs all talk about sex at some point or another, whether it's dick or if it's pussy, whether it's both. So, like, for a woman to do that about her own body, why has that been, like, all hell is loose? Like, it's ridiculous, honestly. It's just, like, shows how we still have such a far, we still have such a long way to go in terms of sexism.
And there's no men in the video that are degrading either Cardi B or Megan Thee Stallion. It's not as if to say they're being subjugated under the gaze of a man, or that, you know, there's some sort of interaction with a man that would make you feel as if they're being hypersexualized by the opposite sex, which I think is interesting. I think we were talking about this earlier, that Russell Brand has come out with a commentary on it, which is interesting because a lot of people have commented on the fact that during, while he's making this commentary about Cardi B and Megan, he's also wearing like a low cut shirt and his chest is exposed and he's very like sexual himself. But basically he's saying that the reason that's problematic is because they've chosen to demonstrate their sexuality in a way that is consistent with patriarchy. And so they're not, they're still showing their tits, they're still showing their ass, and it's still under the male gaze. Like, I don't know how you guys feel about that. If there's a different way to embrace your sexuality that doesn't uphold patriarchal values, like what, where is the line between embracing your sexuality and then conforming to what men think, what you think men want?
The thing is, yeah, is that I hear that point, but then I also feel like if someone, so if I'm an individual that wants to show my breast and I go out of my way not to show it for the on the basis of I don't want to feel like I'm appealing to patriarchy, but I'm not being organic or real to who I am, so what's the point? Like, there's no point. Like, we shouldn't go around life trying to live for others. Do you know what I mean? Not that we should go out doing evil, but we shouldn't go out living for others. So if they genuinely feel in their whole heart but they're doing that and it's for themselves, then that's absolutely okay. Like, I don't feel like it should, I don't see it as a problem, to be honest. What do you think, Liz?
I do think it's a blurred line, and I think like it's difficult because I think that because women have been told since the beginning of time that like your body and your appearance is for male approval and for male gaze, that even when you are dressing in a way that is sexual, dressing in a way that is like showing off your assets, even if you're doing it for yourself, that male gaze is still there. And I do think it's difficult because it's like, you know, some people say, no, I'm doing this for me. Like, I would dress like this even if there was no men around. But like, if they're real with themselves, they enjoy the male gaze. And that's absolutely fine. Like, it's okay to actually enjoy the male gaze as well, as long as you're the one that's in control. But if you actively like pretend like that male gaze doesn't happen and isn't there, I think it's blurred lines. I really do.
Yeah, but I feel like with the male gaze, there's girls who actively entertain it because they're searching for it, and there's people who won't will be oblivious to it. There's times exactly, when I go out with my friends. I've got a friend here who's in a very weird like self love phase. Yeah, so she doesn't, and on this journey of hers, she is being very closed up in what she's choosing to wear. Yeah. We'll go out, her body's banging. Nobody can talk to her about her body. Yeah, we'll go out.
Is it me? People... It's me, isn't it?
I don't know if you're in a weird self-love phase, but if you are, let's talk afterwards. But we'll go out and she'll get, people will look at her and be thinking, like, I know what they're thinking. They're thinking like, yummy, tummy. But because she's not going out and dressed for them, like, she's genuinely in, like, the most baggiest clothes, whatever. But because she's not looking at men, she's not thinking about men, and she's not dressing for them, but she still gets that attention. Do you know what I mean? So like, she's oblivious to it. And I feel like sometimes like, that's not our responsibility. Like, I remember when I was out here and this church man stopped me. I can't remember what denomination he was in, but it was one I've never heard. But it was one where you wear tassels. I can't remember what it was. You wear tassels, you wear purple, men don't shave their hair. All of these sorts of things. Right. Anyway, he was a really interesting guy. But he was basically talking about like what women wear and things like that. He wasn't having a go at me. He was really nice, so shout out him. But he was talking about what women wear, and I'm saying to him, he was like, women shouldn't wear this, women shouldn't wear that. And I'm like, a woman can be in a really baggy dress. Like, think of a really oversized t-shirt dress. Yeah,
me, literally. What
are you wearing one now? Yeah,
yeah.
If a girl, like, you know, this, I'm stereotyping Africans here. Yeah, we know that African women, some African women, I'm stereotyping, I know, allow me, it's for my example. But you know, African women that have ridiculous big bums, ridiculously big bums, yeah? And their waist are just tiny, tiny. When they're in that dress, no matter whether they're putting it on,
because
they know how it's going to look or not, no matter what they wear, they're going to look like that. They could be in a hijab. Is a hijab the full body one? What's the full one?
burqa.
They could be in a burqa. Their body's still going to look mad. And the burqa's meant to be something that's, like, protecting, the like, avoiding that situation. But they're still going to be, their bodies are still going to be hypersexualized in the same way. Do you get what I mean? So whether or not Cardi B decided to wear that in the video, she could have wore a normal, a maxi dress. Her body still would have been appearing in the same way because of how her body's shaped.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. I do. I think, like, I think I'm just, the question that I think is worth discussing or worth raising at least is, you know, someone like Cardi B, someone like Megan Thee Stallion, someone like Nicki Minaj, like, they could be well within their right to dress how they want to dress and do it for their own, you know, they could have complete control of that scenario and they dress what they want to dress for them, but they're also smart enough to know that sex sells, and they're also smart enough to know that the female body, when sexualized, sells. And I think that's the point that Russell Brand was trying to raise. Like, I do see where he's coming from. Obviously, like, I understand the backlash.
I'm not seeing it.
Because he's a white man, and, like, who wants to hear from him about black women's bodies? But, like, I do think that he, that that in itself is an interesting point, that, like, you, especially pop stars and especially celebrities, that, like, you can be completely controlled with that, your, within your sexuality and within what you wear, but you know deep down that sex sells. You know, if you're going to wear a bikini, it's going to get 100 more likes than if you were to wear a full gown.
So, like, but if you were an artist, what would you do?
But the thing about artists that also makes it even more complicated is that they have a whole team behind them saying, this is what you should wear, this is what you should look like.
This goes back to the conversation we had with Leanne Lahabas when she was talking about her hair and being told to have it in a certain style. And every time she did a shoot, she had to have a certain style because that image that they had sold.
But I think the difference with Cardi B and Megan was that they were like this before they became famous. You know what I mean? Like, if we're talking about consistency, Cardi B was like this when she was on Love & Hip Hop. She became famous based, you know, on Instagram, based on this persona. And I think when you, even when you meet her sister, because I don't know if you guys watch Love & Hip Hop, but she has a sister whose name
she has a similar attitude.
Yeah, similar.
Isn't her sister called, like, Hennessy?
Yeah. Oh,
or at least
yes,
that's her nickname.
Yeah, her name is Hennessy Carolina or something like that on Instagram. I don't know if that's her real name, but yeah, like, you can tell that that is genuinely who they are, as opposed to someone who probably was. I'm trying to think of another artist who literally was molded into being like an overly sexual being. Well, I mean,
which happens as well. Like, you'll hear women talk and be like, you know, I was told to dress like this and, you know, talk like this and do my makeup like this, that would sell better. So I just think, like, it's important to remember that those stories exist as well.
Yeah, but of course.
Also, I think, like, let's talk about black men or even white men who bare their chest all the time. And, you know, Morris Chestnut, when he takes off his shirt in a movie, or
who?
I'm trying to think of somebody younger. Sorry, guys. Age gap. Sexy.
Morris Chestnut.
Zach Efron.
Oh, I love him.
Oh, yeah, Zac Efron.
No, let me show you, Liv, who she's talking about. My chocolate darling. Yes, we all love some Morris.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you.
Look at him in this picture.
Something Chestnut. I was like, who?
I'm not even a fan of Morris Chestnut, but yes. Or anybody who's on your top five list. All of them, all those men take off their shirt. They know what they're doing, but they're not told that they're selling themselves for sex. You know what I mean? That isn't a discussion that we have with men who take off their clothes. Magic Mike or whatever. What's the name of the movie? Is it called Magic Mike?
There is a film called Magic Mike. Yeah. It's a whole series.
Yeah, nobody talks about that, really. We embrace it because women are excited for it, but the reverse is just not true. And so I feel like there's a little bit of hypocrisy. I think the question is important, and I think it's valid, but I think the fact that it's not applied equally shows that the intention behind it is not sincere.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting, like, that the idea about, like, how it's different when the roles are reversed. Because I remember when I went to Vegas, and I went to the equivalent of Chocolate City, but in Vegas, and that, like, the guy came up to me, and I was just freaking out, like, oh my gosh, what the hell do I do now? And the woman behind me was like six, she was like 60 something, and she was getting married, and she was like, woo, girl, you get in there. And I was looking at her sideways, like,
you go, girl.
This guy, like, come and take him. I'm shook. What do I do? But it's because I don't really look at men in that way. Obviously, I find men attractive, But when you're seeing them in this environment, they're extremely hypersexualized. Do you know what I mean? And as a woman, so that's something that I find very uncomfortable. Even for my partner, I don't like being hypersexualized on any shape, way, level, or form. Do you get what I mean? So when I'm in that scenario, I found it so weird. But it's like, it was an acceptable scenario for that to, for you to be in that. In the sense that even if there was other men in that proximity where I was, seeing the woman hypersexualizing the men, there wouldn't have been an issue. Whereas if it was the reverse and it was in a strippers club and it was girls on the pole and there was men hypersexualizing them and there was girls watching the men do that, there'll be some of them that would have an issue with it. Do you get what I mean? Whether they'll say it or not is one thing, but there'll be people in there that'll be like, why are they doing that? Why are they groping them? But then when it's the reverse and the girls will put oil down their chocolate body, no one's worrying about who's being groped.
This is what I'm saying. It's difficult. And I don't want people to get the wrong idea. Like, there is no blurred line when it comes to consent. Consent is very black and white. But I think, like, the wider social constructs are a bit more blurred because, like, you could look at a woman and say, or a man, and say, this person is sexually vulnerable, they're taken advantage of, they're being taken advantage of. And that same person could be like, no, I'm fully in control, I know what I'm doing. And then maybe they don't. Like, maybe they don't actually realise what's happening to them. Maybe they don't actually realise that they're being taken advantage of. They're just happy to, like, be in the moment. And so, like, yeah, like, knowing where those lines are. Because, like, Chocolate City, for example, like, someone could say, oh, but you chose that job. Like, you know what you're getting yourself into. Like, if you didn't want to be paraded around, you should have worked there. And the man who actually works there might say, yeah, like, it's okay, but I don't actually enjoy it. I just want to pay the bills, blah, blah. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's difficult. And it kind of, you really need to talk about it case by case basis, almost.
This is the Dope Black Women Podcast.
Yeah, no, and I guess that goes back to what you had brought to our attention, Liv. I don't know if you want to bring us through this whole Selena Powell situation that's been going on.
Yeah, but yeah, so
ties in.
Selena Powell is she is an Instagram model and music video girl, and she has her OnlyFans page. So you know, she has like thousands and thousands of followers. And, you know, she's kind of within that influencer realm. Her and a friend of hers, who also has an OnlyFans page called Eliza, went on No Jumper, which is a podcast radio show. It's a girl, if you'd let me finish, I'm explaining. It's a YouTube channel, it's a podcast, it's a live radio show. But, like, they definitely do interviews that the average radio show wouldn't do. Like, they know that they're being provocative, they know that they're asking questions in order to get, you know, in order to get clout, basically. That's kind of like their selling point. So they were being interviewed I think it was a day or two ago, and since then it's just blown up on Twitter. And basically the whole interview is about their sex life. So literally from the first question that host asks is, oh, have you two meet sucking dick? And the whole interview is just about, like, what celebrities have you slept with? What's your wildest stories? Da 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 da. And it's just very interesting.
And are they okay with it? Like, are they responsive to it and fine?
They seem fine, but it's like, we don't really know. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're just watching on YouTube. Like, we don't actually know what's going on. But it does feel uncomfortable because, like, I got the sense that because these girls have OnlyFans, you can talk to them in a way that you wouldn't talk to an average woman, basically. True. That's the sense I got from it. That you can just ask her outright, like, oh, what celebrities have you slept with? What's your wildest story? But you would never ask, like, I don't know.
Lauren Hill.
Ella. Yeah, that would never be the first question of the interview. Yeah. Like, she'd probably slap you around the face.
Like, she'd be like, what? This interview's cancelled.
This interview's over. And, like, it's just a very interesting dynamic because, like, going back to kind of, you know, what we're talking about throughout this whole podcast is that because they are women who present themselves as sexually empowered and in control of their sexuality, like, where are those lines and where are those barriers? Because, like, they seem okay with it, but they don't seem 100% comfortable. Like, Selena keeps saying about her friend Eliza, oh, she's just shy, she's just nervous, she's just shy. And in my head, I'm thinking, if she's shy, stop asking her these kind of questions.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like it's just a bit awkward, isn't it? Because, like, let's say, yeah, for example, let's say they're actually cool asking these questions. Let's say they're transparent, they're, like, really open with it. But like, they're more than just that, and I think that's what makes it uncomfortable. Because it's the same, it's a bit like tokenism, but in a weird, skewed way. It's like when you have a Muslim person on, I keep using Muslim as an example, I'm not trying to shade anyone, it's just what's coming to my head. But like, when you have like a Muslim person on the panel, and they're only asking them questions about their faith, but they're also Black, do you know what I mean? They also like curry chicken, let's ask some other questions, let's find out other parts about them. And it's like, with this scenario, even if their main, like from the sounds of things, they wanted to get the clout by having this sort of topic, and they also wanted to get the clout by also starting the conversation in that way, because look, we've now spoken about how the first question was what it was, but to humanize them a bit, they could have just spoke to them about something normal, like, we've just been through a fucking pandemic, you could have asked them how they found it going.
Literally, like, how have you been the last couple of months? Even the title of the YouTube video is Selena Powell's friend says she slurped up 7 NBA players in a row.
Didn't even use her name.
Didn't even use her name. Like, her name is not even in the video. Like, that's so rude.
I think it goes back to what we've talked about before as well. It's like the sexualization or hypersexualization of Black women or women in general is enacted by men. You know what I mean? And so, as Shan said, if she was wearing a burqa, and she still had those stories, just for example, she still had these sexual stories, they'd still be hypersexualizing her and asking her those questions. You know what I mean? And the fact that she's wearing a burqa versus wearing something that's revealing on some level is inconsequential, because if somebody wants to hypersexualize you in one way or another, they will. You know, you could have your entire body covered and he could still be like, well, why are you smiling like you want to suck my dick? You know what I mean?
And the whole thing is like so, so patronizing and so like, what's the word? Like, he goes back on his word so many times. So in the beginning, the host says, literally the second or the third question of the interview, like, oh, let's list some of the rappers from your body count. Like, who have you slept with? And then Eliza is like, oh, I don't really give names, I'm not really like that. And then he just, oh, you're a good woman, you're a good woman. But then throughout the whole interview, he keeps pressing her, like, tell us some names. So it's like, what do you want from her? Like, she literally cannot win in this scenario.
Yeah, and it's like,
that's like the peak of being hypersexualized.
It's like, how am I being called a good woman for keeping my mouth shut about the fact that men have clearly treated me like shit? Like, what is that the mark of a good woman, is being silent in or being complicit in my own victimization? Because for me, it's very clear that those women are not in control. Like, I think at some point in time, she says that she had sex with 7, or she gave 7 basketball.
She gave heads.
Yeah. But she says, I don't remember. She was like, I don't care. I don't remember. I was drunk or I passed out. So I don't really remember what happened. And I'm like, that's clearly not consensual if you were under the influence of drugs and 7 men just came in and you don't remember what happened. That sounds like rape.
But this is where it becomes complicated, because like she says that. She says, oh yeah, I don't really remember it. Like, I was drunk, blah, blah. But then she's like, he says, is that a good memory to you? She's like, yeah, it was lit. Like, I had a great time. Like, it was so much fun. Yeah. And so you end up thinking like, okay, so like, this is what I mean about blurred lines. Like, she's someone who, in my eyes, is clearly vulnerable and clearly been taken advantage of. But to her, she's like, no, I'm having a great time. I'm cool. I'm in control. So for me to then turn around and say to her, you've been taken advantage of, she ends up feeling patronized. I end up, when I say me, I just mean like society and Twitter users, end up looking like, ah, oh, you're just men hating, you're just like feminist bashing, like men haters. Like, and it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's difficult how you help someone out of a scenario when they don't see themselves as a victim.
Yeah, but she also might have just been doing it as a defense mechanism. Like, I can't imagine being on a platform as big as what this sounds like, because I have no idea what this is. And someone asking these questions, and me having to act out by admit that I've been taken advantage of. Like, what person would want to do that? Like, why would you want to do that? You wouldn't want to do that. No one wants to look vulnerable to your friend, let alone onto the big wild world web. And it also might have been like in I May Destroy You, that scenario with Kwame when he gets that self-realization, when he's like, oh shit, I was 13 years old, I was in my uniform. That might have been her moment. Like, now she's done it, she's watched it back, or she might have watched that now, and now she's got friends that are coming to her like, babes, this is not okay. And she's like, you're right, it's not. And now she's realized what it was. And she just gaslighted this negative experience as something that was okay to kind of make herself feel better. Because if the girl, because you were saying, I can't remember which round it was, but the girl kept saying, oh, she's just shy. Zakay doesn't want to talk about it.
And like, just for context, the video has been up for less than 24 hours and it already has nearly 500,000 views. So like, imagine all those people. Yeah, imagine all those people are watching you and instantly making a judgment. Like, as if they know your whole life story now.
I also think it's interesting that Trey Songz managed to respond to it so quickly. What do you guys think about his response to the actual video, or him being called out in the video?
So just for context, so, you know, throughout the video, the host is asking, what celebrities have you slept with? Like, who, you know, who's the best, what's the best sex you ever had, blah, blah. And she mentions that she slept with Trey Songz. And she says that allegedly he peed on her. And the thing is, what makes it complicated is she doesn't actually say without consent. What she says is like, you know, we're having sex and I went into the bathroom to clean up and he came in after me, asked me to get into the bathtub. So I did. And then he started masturbating and then peed on her. And she says, without me realizing, which is without consent. But then they all laugh about it. They will make a joke about it. Like, it's very uncomfortable to watch.
It is, definitely. Yeah, it's interesting that he was so quick to respond, because he's had allegations against him before, right?
Kiki Palmer.
Oh my gosh.
This is about like 2 or 3 years ago, alleged that he sexually harassed her.
Oh, wow.
And he's always denied it. Like, he's always denied it. Also, like, other people, like people who aren't celebrities, saying, you know, he's a dodgy guy. Which is interesting, yeah, that he basically, like, you know, got on Twitter and just, you know, completely, like, said this isn't true, like, this never happened, blah, blah, and said that, you know, basically it goes against the Me Too movement to make up stories. Like, he says, in his opinion, like, that
he flipped it.
Yeah, in his opinion, you know, you're doing an injustice to other women by making up these stories, which is like,
not so scary. Yeah, the scariest thing is, because just imagine she's not making this up, because no one knows at the end of the day. Yeah, what he's doing is mad.
He's gaslighting her
100%. To the fullest. Like, based on the idea that he is making it up, that is the complete. And then that shows why the other girl is the opposite girl now, isn't it?
No, yeah, this is pretty much all Eliza. Yeah,
but the girl that was like not wanting to speak and that had the story about giving head, same person.
Yeah.
But this is clear why they wouldn't want to speak up in the first place. Because look, you speak up now you're being told that you're a liar.
True.
When the videos have been on 500,000 views, the whole world knows.
And I also think it's very strategic. Like, you're here saying that this woman is doing a disservice to the Me Too movement, but you in the same breath say, y'all are so quick to believe a bird. Actually, that's the whole point of the Me Too movement, is that women are supposed to be believed. And you're here.
Regardless of who they are, yeah.
Yeah, and he could, the thing is, he could have easily made that point without calling her a bird or without victim shaming her, you know, or allegedly victim shaming her. And so I also think that is quite telling in and of itself. Like, even when you appear or give the performance of caring about women, you actually clearly don't in the same breath. It's very strange to me.
And this is the whole problem, right? Because they're two girls who have made their name and their platform off of being OnlyFans and, you know, and having OnlyFans, is like, they are somehow less believable than the average woman. That, like, because of who they are and because of how they're known, that they must be making it up. Like, surely they're making it up. Surely they're just doing it for attention, because those are, quote unquote, the kind of girls they are. And it just, like, shows.
Could never be.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Consistent with that idea, yeah.
Yeah.
And it also just links into how much women who choose to, like, be revealing of their body or be a bit provocative or be a pair promiscuous, how much they're, like, attached to a stereotype. Because if it was someone who wasn't on this, if someone made an alleged statement, yeah, that wasn't on this platform talking about all these things that are very sexual, that I didn't feel like he would have had that braveness to come out and say a response so quick. Probably would have had more time to think about how he's going to respond, how he's going to deal with it. Whereas because of the reputation they have, they have a reputation of being someone who's I'm assuming it's only based on what we've said, yeah? But they have a reputation of being very hypersexualized from their OnlyFans page. They're talking very openly about their sexual past. But then I think the trigger for it, for me, this is what I assume, the trigger for Trey Songz to apply so quick, I feel like, is the peeing bit, because that reminds you of R. Kelly. Did anyone feel think of that?
They even mentioned that in the video.
He's probably thinking at that moment, shit, I'm not going to be attached to this guy. Let me deflect. And that's why he's gone as far as being like, me too. There's no need for you to bring up me too. What you're trying to do is inadvertently and backhandedly be an ally. Just like, I feel like him bringing up the Me Too movement is saying, like, I know about this movement. I'm aware. I'm on you guys' side. What you're doing is counterattacking it. But actually, what you're doing is the complete opposite.
100%. Our producer just said he's now bringing up screenshots of women who have claimed that he has assaulted them, which is just even more to the point. Like, now you're calling out other women. And you don't even know, you haven't even given them a chance to have their side of the story heard. Like, it's clearly a very problematic defense mechanism that you have.
And also, why would you do that? Why would you bring up other women? This is what I mean as well. I'm not being funny. This also seems guilty. I'm not trying to say he is or he isn't. But imagine, yeah. Like I say now. You know, I said at Leanne's house the other day, my toothbrush went missing. All of a sudden, Liv's is running to her bathroom to show me a picture of all the toothbrushes in the bathroom. Okay, the toothbrush might be in your bathroom, but it might be in your fucking bitch. You know what I mean? Like, no one called you to the stand to give a talk. So you said your apology, you linked to me too, and now you want to be drawn out all these girls. First of all, where's their anonymity? How do you say that word? Where is it?
Anonymity.
That would have been granted had they gone to court. Had they gone to court, that would have been granted. But now you're out here outing these women. So you care so much about the Me Too women and the safety of women, but you're out here making these women look ridiculous online.
And putting these women up to scrutiny when they're trying to keep their mouth shut and keep life moving. Like, they're not trying to call you out. Why are you bringing these women to the picture?
Literally, and you know that, like, this guy has a fan base. So, like, and now you've put these women's names out there into the public platform. Like, what do you think is going to happen now? Like, it's just crazy. But also, like, I think it just, you know, to go back to where we started with, like, Cardi and Megan, it's like, it's so difficult. I feel like women just can't win whatever they do, because, like, this is, 100%. You know, people criticize someone like Megan Thee Stallion or someone like Cardi for dressing provocative because, you know, you're quote unquote going to get the wrong attention or whatever. And when they say, no, but I'm doing this myself, I know I like it, it's like, no, you must be doing it for attention. Like, there's no way. And then, like, you know, you have women who are making their OnlyFans, which actually, like, don't get me wrong, like, I don't know much about OnlyFans. I'm sure it's not, like, perfect. No social media platform is. But, like, it's giving women agency, women control of, like, their own pornography in a way that, like, these big, huge porn websites don't. Like, you own your OnlyFans, you own, like, what is on there. And you're still criticizing them. They still can't win, like, whatever they do. So basically, women should just live in boxes and not show our skin and just, like, never speak, basically.
Yeah. It has to go across a spectrum, right? Like, women are not, and black women even more specifically, are not.
I was about to say that.
We aren't. Some people are going to hypersexualize themselves for the male gaze. Some people are going to do it for themselves. Some people are going to dress conservatively, but be a freak in the sheets and.
What's that quote? Oh my gosh, guys! When we first started the podcast, you said something, Leanne, and me and Liv went crazy, yeah. And it was basically about like, I think I put something on the Instagram.
It was a quote, yeah.
I put something on the Instagram, isn't it? About like you can be, you can twerk in the club and still be a spiritual. I can't remember what it was. It was something about that. But we need to find it and then make this the podcast title, yeah? But it basically goes back to the idea that black women, or women, but also black women can't do both. Do you know what I mean? Like men love to praise women who can cook and do these things, okay? And then, but then they're also, but they don't want to be demeaning women who are out in the club too often.
But then you're the same person who will be showing the bad being in a group chat. So why are you showing the bad being? Show the woman I can cook in the group chat then.
Exactly.
But also, you want a girl who's a freak, yeah? But she's also not slept around. So how did she learn to be a freak?
How does that work?
How did she learn?
Where did she learn her skills?
Also, you want a woman who's strong and powerful and is a boss bitch at work, but you don't want her to be too smart, or she can't be smarter than you, or she can't make more money than you. Like, it's just, where do we fit in? Like,
literally anything we do.
Do you guys sometimes feel like black women that it's hard to find that balance?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I do feel like sometimes you kind of feel like there's the real you, and then there's the version of you which, like, goes to any, like, social norm. Why are you laughing?
Because of producer Leanne, yeah? No, producer Leanne. When we went out the other day, don't worry, I'm not going to move mad. I'm not going to out you. So basically, me and Leanne went out, yeah? And after we went out, she was telling me a story about something. And I was cracking up because I was like, I'm not the only one. Lay back with me. And she really reminded me of me. And it was like, when we were talking, it was like, we didn't say it directly, but we were basically saying that there's two versions of us. Like, you're this person, but sometimes you lapse into that other person. And they're still you. But when you deep it, you'd actually probably rather be the other person that you lapse into. Because of this image or this pressure or what you feel like you have to be, you end up being the version that you are 24/7. Do you get what I mean?
Whether that's with like male company or whether that's at work or whatever it might be, or how you act on a night out, like, you're always kind of like, as a woman, especially as a black woman, you're always aware of like, how am I going to be perceived, and like, how is this going to make me treated, rather than just being like your true authentic self. Whether that's someone who wants to dress in a burqa, or whether that's someone that's just in a bikini, you can't win, basically.
And it's funny because I feel like doing this podcast, obviously I'm assuming all four of us have gotten some sort of commentary on the stories that we tell or the things that we say, or and actually it's made me feel much more comfortable in being all of my different selves in any different scenario, because now I'm just like, well, I've said it on the podcast, so
you can't use it against me because I said it.
Exactly. It's my shit. I own it. I own my own toxicity, so fuck it. I'm just going to be who I am, wherever I am. And so I'm kind
of... I own my own work, honey.
Exactly.
I feel like the more we encourage ourselves and also step out in faith to just be ourselves and be aligned with who we want to be, the easier things will be. Do you know what I mean? The less we take on pressures of what we want, our mum thinks we should be, our dad, our uncle, our cat, our dead rat. Do you know what I mean? Once we shape these pressures, you end up living your true authentic self. I definitely feel like, obviously, anyone listening to this now is a part of the Dope Black Woman crew. But I definitely feel like our Dope Black Woman crew just helped us to embrace that even more, because we see real examples of multifaceted women. Do you know what I mean?
We just
have such open conversations as well. We talk about sexuality very openly without it being something that we're shunning or something that we're shy to talk about. Like, the space is just so free, you know what I mean? How can you not be yourself when you have no limitations on what you can talk about or share?
Amen, honey. So I think what we're trying to say is just be yourself, be whoever that means to you. You know, if you want to dress a certain way, if you want to like talk a certain way, if you want to wear back riders, do it. Whether there's going to be male attention or not, do it for yourself and what feels good to you. Okay. Amen. Can I get an amen up in here?
Amen.
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 So thanks so much for listening, guys. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast from. On Twitter and Facebook, we're Dope Black Woman. But on Instagram, we are Dope Black Woman 1. We'll be back with you next week. Until then, stay blessed and unapologetically black.
All the way black.
Black me black.
Black plastic.
Black plastic. Oh, have you not seen the School of Rock?
Oh yeah, of course.
Nobody's like the School of Rock. Yeah. Black.
Let the church choir sing.
All the Christians are going to get mad at us now. They're like, you are comparing sexuality and religion.
No, we're talking about being your true authentic self. And God says, come to me as you are. Yeah?
All right. Amen.
Hey.